Amen. Well, I've been telling the church for a month that we're gonna have the Gideons here on the 30th, and here we are, and we are so glad. I don't know. I have to express for myself to testimonies. When you talk about what God has done, I'm always telling our church that when we have prayer meeting, we always have testimony time, praise report, answer to prayer, because we're to talk about what God has done. Amen. We're to talk about what, and when you talk about what God has done, faith is stirred up in the hearts of his people. And so we have the Gideons here. Herb, who was here last year, as well as Peter, was here last. Peter said, well, Pastor, we only need 10 minutes. Well, I told Peter, you can take, look, you testify, you tell us what God is doing, and don't worry about me, because my church knows me. He good whenever. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to flow. We can move to next week. We can do all that. I have a sermon. I got multiple sermons prepared. I'm ready. Instant in season out. See, be ready to go. But I want to have you come on up, or Herb, or however you're going to do it, and share. Take your time. Take your time and share with us the good news of what Christ is doing.
Thank you so much, Pastor. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being here today.
Amen.
So I got a question for you. What good is a Gideon Bible in a garbage can?
No good.
Oh, hold on. What is it? He about to come with it. Yay.
What good is the life of a man who feels like his life is in the garbage can? But we serve an almighty God.
Yes.
And there was a man named Chris who was standing there looking in the jail at a garbage can with a Gideon Bible at the bottom. This man, how did he get there? He decided that he was going to immerse himself into the homosexual community, even though his mother and his father were wonderful Christians. And his mother never stopped praying for him. And he got involved in all of it, including drugs, deeply into drugs, until one day the knock came. He knew it was going to come. It did. There they were waiting for him. He's looking at 25 to life. And now he's standing in this jail, looking down in that garbage can, and he picked it up. And he said, I'm going to read this Bible. And you know why? He wanted to get confirmation that his chosen life style was acceptable before God. And after he read through it, he found nothing but condemnation. But what he did find was redemption that is in Jesus Christ. And this man became saved, and by a miracle that only God can perform, he got out only a couple of years later. That's a miracle. And not only that, a man who was fully immersed in this lifestyle is now a published author. I just double-checked on Amazon to see his book. And he wrote, of all things, about the holiness of scriptural sexuality as designed by God.
Yes.
And it is 4.8 stars. An outstanding job. God can do that. He can completely take someone like this and get him right with his word.
Amen.
So how does that happen? How does it even happen that a Bible is in a garbage can like that? Well, it happens because of a partnership that we have, the Gideons, with local churches just like you. You see, the Gideons are basically a missionary arm of the church, going places, other countries, and places like jails where the church can't always go. But because of your support, your prayer, Gideons get Bibles in their hands because of you. And then because of our volunteer and our service and our mission, we then get the Bibles into the hands of the lost.
Amen.
That's how that happens.
Yeah.
That's what we're all about.
Amen.
So who are the Gideons? Lots of times when I go out to restaurants, I always do this. I always offer up an app card. And I'll ask folks and say, hey, do you know who the Gideons are? And unfortunately, a lot of folks don't know who the Gideons are. So now we're going to tell you who the Gideons are. So the Gideons are professional and business Christian men, just like some of the men here, who are dedicated to reaching souls for Christ all over the world. We're 159,000 strong in 200 countries. Last year, we distributed over 45 million scriptures. And since 1908, when it was founded, take a guess, how many Bibles worldwide have been distributed? Take a guess.
1 billion.
1 billion?
Billion.
Billion? That's close. 2.5 billion scriptures.
Ooh, that's a lot of words.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So what are we doing? What are we doing in the Gideons around here? And what I'm going to tell you basically applies to the Gideons everywhere. But we are going out and we are going to schools. Middle schools, high schools, universities. Earlier this year, we went to Annandale campus. It was a light day of traffic. Beautiful day. Light traffic. But we still had teams all placed all over the place, covered them from sunup to sundown. 944 scriptures passed out just that day.
Good. Good.
We go to medical clinics, dental clinics. We go to assisted living facilities. We go to libraries. We go to lawyers' offices. You name it. We can keep going. Hotels, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, one of the Bibles that you've seen before,
right.
If you've reached in a drawer at a hotel, it's one of these beautiful Bibles. And so we're placing those. And, in fact, we have been partnering with Pastor Brian right down the street. And we partner with churches for their VBSs and for their distribution events. So Pastor Brian, he does food distribution events. We partnered with him. And in the time we partnered with him, we passed out nearly 2,000 Bibles with his church.
Amen.
And that's not all. Just recently, Herb and I had the wonderful joy to join Gideons that came from all over the Northeast, as far as upstate New York, to do what we call a scripture blitz. What is that? We're basically carpet bombing the world with God's word. That's what we're doing. And up in D.C., I want you all to be encouraged. You always hear about the world doesn't want to hear any of this. Pastor Pat said it. They're hungry for something. They got a big, big hole in their body right here, their soul, that only God can fill. And I want to tell you something. Those people up in D.C. where there's a lot of darkness, that's where the light shines.
That's
right.
Where pride is.
And were they appreciative? Let me just tell you one story. You want to hear some stories? Here's one. So we're up at a junior high school just blocks away from our nation's capital, right? And all these kids come out. We're passing out these. I love these right here. Really catch the color. And these kids are grabbing up the Bibles left and right for us. And you know who's really on fire? The young ladies. Every once in a while, some young man would come up there and say, no. And they would pounce on him and say, you don't love your God? What's wrong with you? And one of my favorites was this lady comes up with a young man and his arm. She's got him in a wrist lock. Just like this. Walks him up right up to me like this. And she goes, this boy wants a Bible. And I looked over and I said, young man, do you want a Bible? And she goes, oh, yeah. So I put the Bible in his hand. And I don't know, only the Lord knows whether he's happy about getting that Bible or getting out of the wrist lock.
Right.
But he was young. And that's the way they were. They were on fire. And let us all pray that all of us will be so bold as that young lady.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe not use the physicality, but definitely as bold. Well, why do we do that? Well, we do that because we're trying to reach the lost.
Yes.
And you know how many Bibles we passed out in that blitz of 4 days? Where the world doesn't want to hear anything about this?
Mm-hmm.
33,000 Bibles. And everywhere we went, there was tremendous appreciation. Why? Because they're hungry for the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
They know that the devil has been telling them lies, and there's only one answer, and it's the truth of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And we as Gideons, Pastor Pat, I've heard you preach from up here. You're fire. Okay, so I know you know a lot of this, but the Gideons also believe in the inerrancy and the power of God's word, which is why we put it out there.
Amen.
In a lost world.
Yes.
We know that as Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it.
Yes.
Even if it's in the garbage.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
That's exactly right.
Amen.
So how can you all support us? The number one thing, prayer.
Yes.
Prayer is powerful.
Amen.
We're calling on an almighty God that can do all things. Mm-hmm. He is mighty to save, and he is able. And I know Pastor Pat is teaching about prayer, but let me just give you a Gideon story about the power of prayer. We were in the height of COVID lockdown. And we were planning events, and we're on a teleconference. Where are we going next? We're going to go to assisted living facilities. In our camp, we had 10. One of the senior Gideons said, "Are you kidding? We're going during a lockdown when for 10 years we have not been able to get into those facilities?" And I said, "That sounds like a prayer request."
Hey!
So we prayed about it. And by the way, Matthew here is our camp chaplain. So he probably was the one that led the prayer. And so the very next day we go out. I'm got a box and I'm walking up to this assisted living facility, the first one. And they got double sliding doors and it says no entrance. And before I could stop, they parted. I said, "This reminds me of something." Right? So I stepped in, the next glass door is open.
Hey.
And it opened.
Yes.
And then I found myself in the lobby about this size, and there was this lady who turned out to be the deputy director of the assisted living facility, and there she was. And when I walked up to her, she looked at me, she goes, "Sir, where'd you come from?" I said, "From this glass door." "No, no, you can come through there." And she's looking because she's standing in the only other entrance to that lobby. So she tells, "How is this?" And she goes, "Sir, you didn't come through the double doors." I said, "I did." She goes, "Who let you in?" I looked straight her in the face and I said, "The Lord God did." And she goes, "What are you here for?" And I said, "To bring Bibles to your people and minister to them, to bless them." Mm-hmm. And you know what? I was the first. By the time that day was over, all 10 facilities in a height of COVID time took our Bibles,
wow,
passed out 400.
Wow.
All praise and glory.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's how we ask. That's why we really ask you to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the other thing is support financially. People, when we pass out Bibles, are like, "How is this free?" It's like, well, somebody had to pay for it. We don't charge. But the way it happens is because of good people like you, the Lord puts on your heart to donate, and as you can and as you'd like to, you provide it.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, these Bibles right here, these are beautiful Bibles, by the way. Lots of times we go places, people are like, "These are beautiful," and they are. These are $5. Gideon's are one of the biggest publishers in the world. And so we get good prices, but it still costs $5. And these little ones right here, these wonderful New Testaments, these are ones we give out to the young folks. And these are the ones we typically give out just out on the street to folks. These cost like $1.70. And we passed out millions of these. Last year, like I said, we passed out 45 million Bibles. So let me tell you a little bit about this. This is a powerhouse right here. Absolutely a powerhouse. It goes from Matthew to Revelation. It has Psalms and the Proverbs. And in the front, there's a wonderful section that we always talk as the helps. God's help in crisis. Read it off. Afraid, anxiety, forgiveness, failing, friends fail, future, gambling, guidance, guilty. All of these things that people face in their life. It has chapter and verse for the wonderful scriptures that help us for it, and even the page number for it. That's awesome. And then at the back is a wonderful, wonderful thing called the plan of salvation. And this is the Roman road to salvation. We use this all the time as a witnessing tool. And I'll tell you another story. You knew one.
Please do.
There's so many stories. But here's just one example. Here we are down at Pastor Bryant's. And he's got the food set up, and the cars are driving through. So as we get the chance, we offer up these Bibles to them. And if we can, we always ask them to open up these pages. Because a lot of them, they'll start paying. No, they don't know where to get started. We always ask them, "Read the Bible." And if we have time, we'll ask them, "Read this right here." Well, you can't see what it is. It's John 3:16. Read it out loud, because what? God's words have power. People go, "How do you witness?" I said, "I do as little talking as possible."
Yes.
I let God do the talking.
Hey. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so this lady pulls up and she goes, "You want me to read it?" I said, "Yeah." "In Spanish?" "Yes." And as she read it in Spanish, her eyes got bigger and bigger and bigger. And she's coming deep. I believe this. You saved right then and there.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Who doesn't want to share in the joy? Now you know why we get so excited and fired up and go out there and reach the lost, because there's a world walking around that's utterly lost. I had this wonderful Christian man. We were at GMU. We will be at GMU's campus coming up in September. This is last year. A young man comes up. He goes, "You're still here? Why are you here?" And I said, "I'll tell you why, and I'll tell you why all the Gideons are here." I said, "If this right here was a cure of cancer," I said, "how messed up would it be if you don't tell anybody about it?" And I said, "Even if they got cancer and you cure them because of this, they'd still die."
That's right.
But if you tell them about Jesus, they'll never die.
That's right.
He looked at me and he goes, and you know, what is, you can imagine what the young people say today. What did they say today? He said, "That's dope."
Right.
And so that's not what I call dope. I get it. So I looked at him. I said, "Do you believe that?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "So why are you still talking to me?" He's like, "Oh, yeah, you're right." And he took off. So be prayer. You know, so we have wonderful opportunities, not just with the lost, but even with Christians who are sitting there going, "You know, what should I do?" And the devil always wants to discourage. We now have duties. And you may be sitting there thinking, "Well, I want to do this too. How do I get one of these?" Well, Herb already told you. We have a wonderful program called the Friend of the Gideons. And just yesterday, it might not surprise you, indeed, we were happy to be out, and we distributed these Bibles yesterday, over 100 of these. And three men came up to us. Two of them were pastors. A third was not, but they were all Hispanic, and they were passing out Bible tracts with invitations to the church. We told them about this. Explain it just like I did now. And how do we get these? Friend of the Gideons program. It's free. You have some brochures here. You go online and you can order these things for yourself. And they're going to be the same, except they're going to be this gray color right here. And they won't have, you see, there's a Gideon symbol right here. You won't have the Gideon symbol on there. But it's alike in every way. So you can go out there and order, and I'm going to put down a challenge to you all. If you go out and order some of these Bibles, you call us up anytime. We would love to go out side by side with you all and reach the lost, because the world is utterly lost. There are so many instances of stories that we have from the Gideons. I don't even know where to start, but some of the ones I just remember. Some of the ones that I remember. We were in Virginia Tech, and there's a team down there, and of course, if you've been on campus, you know the look. People got examinations going on, so they look like their life is disappearing from them, right? They're a harried look. But the Lord and His Holy Spirit really put on the Gideon's heart to follow that guy right there. It was unmistakable, and it was urgent. Mm-hmm. And so normally, we do not coerce. We offer people Bibles. If they refuse, that's up to them. But in this case, the man pursued him because the Holy Spirit made it very clear. He didn't go after this guy. After a few minutes, the man sat down. He confessed that very moment he was going to the Virginia Tech Stadium, he was going to take his life. So he began to talk to him. A few minutes later, he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He's been a pastor for many years since. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
So many stories like that. Mm-hmm. There was a teenager who earned the dubious honor in one half of a city of being the top drug dealer in that half of the city. Mm-hmm. He was an operator. Mm-hmm. He had it going. And he thought he had it all sussed, as it were. He had all the money. He had a car that was very nice. And in fact, that very nice car pulled up in front of the Gideon, who had one of these and decided to give him something that he didn't have, and that he never had before. He handed it to him, and he just tossed it in the back. But that emptiness in his life grew. You know, when you hear stories about people who have it all, mm-hmm. like Hollywood, mm-hmm. that's where that emptiness is even bigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's like, I got everything the world says is great, and I'm still empty. That's right. And this man said, "You know what, that's it. I'm just going to take my life." But because of that PWT, as we call it, this New Testament right here, he did read something about that.
That's real. I don't know part of that. He also had a great, great thing that he thought. Who's God? He made me.
Hey.
He's not going to leave me alone. I'm going to cry. I'm going to give him 30 days
to connect with me.
Ooh.
You got 30 days, God. I'm sure you did create me. I didn't just come out of nowhere.
Right.
So about halfway through, he decided he was going to meet God halfway. So he decided to go across town because they hated him on the part of the town of Reno, the good people. And he came in there all padded, piercings, everything. He looked the part. He did not dress up for church, ladies and gentlemen. He walked into that church, and this elderly lady walked up to him. She goes, "Sonny, is this your first time here?" He's looking at me. Here we go. Here we go. It's going to start right now.
Right?
But to his shock, she said, "I hope you come back here next week." He was blown away. He sat down. He listened to the pastor. Just like your pastor. He was on fire. He said, "You know what? I don't know if I can process all this." His head was swimming. He said, "But I know I heard something." Told that elderly lady as he walked out, "I'll be back." He came back the following week, and in this large church, that pastor came from behind his pulpit, walked right up to the city, and don't you know, he gave the gospel right next to him. And that man believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been a pastor over 30 years. Pastor, you've been very gracious in giving me the opportunity to speak today.
Amen.
And to tell these stories. And these are but a few.
Yeah.
I can spend the rest of the afternoon. I know her good as well. But I do want to say one thing. Every one of us is charged for the Great Commission. Every one of us. And so we're answering the Great Commission. I pray with the friends of the Gideons, you go out and do the same. Because our Lord, the last thing he said before he ascended to heaven, what did he say? "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of some of the nations." No, all the nations. "And baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And so few do. So we come in here full of excitement and passion because this is what our Lord and Savior asks of us because he died for us.
Mm-hmm.
He paid a price that is incomprehensible in its brutality.
Yes.
Because he loved us that much. And there's a world out there that's utterly lost. I just heard a statistic. I'll just tell you very quickly. Over 85% of unbelieving people say they are willing to have somebody tell them about their faith.
Huh.
That's right. They just need somebody like you.
Mm-hmm.
They just need somebody like you. So what my prayer is that the Lord will place on your heart the mission of what we do, that you would pray for us. If the Lord puts it on your heart, join us.
Mm-hmm.
If the Lord puts it on your heart, fund us. But what I do pray is that when Jesus returns, he will find all of us of one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor Pat. And thank you to the ladies and gentlemen here. God bless you.
Thank you, Peter.
All right. Well, I'm not going to preach my planned sermon today because I need to say some things behind what Peter and Herb, and thank you so much again for coming and being with us. So where do we go? Where do we go from here? Okay. A month ago, we got out here and we cleaned up this yard over here. Y'all remember, right? And, well, a few days after that, yeah, we cleaned the plastic up all over. Oh, yeah, it was a whole bunch of trash and debris we got out of there. Well, a few days after that, I drove to this neighborhood back here. the trailer park. It's mainly Hispanic. So those Hispanic, we're going to be needing some of those. Because, a few days after that, I drove over there and went down in there praying. And the situation is so bleak there that they have a police station in the trailer park. Amen. I saw the cops driving around in their cars, and I was like, yeah, Lord, this is right where we need to come. So now I was checking for no solicitation and, you know, all these type of things, and I didn't see anything. So I said, okay, well, this is fertile ground. So just let you know, just priming the pump. That's the next thing I want to do is get some, and it's Hispanics, it's a mixed, you know, group over there. But while I was sitting here listening to Peter, I'm thinking, yeah, that little orange New Testament he had, we need to get some of those. And we need to go over there. And I must say this, to emphasize what he said. The word of God makes way for itself. You say, I don't talk good. You don't have to talk good. God talks perfectly. But you get the word there, it's like, now, I was asking, did someone throw that testament in the trash can, or was it put? Someone threw the testament in the trash can. Why? So that man, at the right time, could see that New Testament and get saved. God is the one who, now all he tells us to do is to go. But he's the one who takes his word and makes sure that it gets to where it needs to go. Now, watch this. So last week, Justin and I are getting in the car. Next door neighbor, there's a young lady out there, and she's fixing her plants. And now, you know, I talk to everybody. I like to talk to people. Hey, how you doing? Hey, you know. And so she says, hey, where y'all going? I said, we're going to church. She says, oh. I was about to say, hey, you need to come on with us. But I didn't. But I noticed. She said, so where y'all going? The people see us every week. We come out same time. Same bat time. Same bat channel. And so today, now when God trying to get to you, he does it more than once. So today we come out, we get in the car. Another person who lives in that house. Hey! Hey! Where y'all going? He said, did you just come to church? I said, no. We on our way to church. And you are most welcome. He said, oh, okay. So now, I'm like, Lord, I know I'm slow, but I'm not that slow. Okay. So when I get home, I'm going to, matter of fact, I've been praying. And I know our neighborhood and all that, but I've been praying for our neighborhood, and I had it in my mind to go knock on every door on our list. 88. Counted them up. There's 88 homes on our one street. 88. And I was praying about going and knocking on every door and say, does anyone hear me pray? I thought that may be a little too personal. It would work with some people, but some people would be afraid. I get it. But that's simple. That's unoffensive. And then if the word of God gets in the home, then he's going to accomplish what God said it did, really, right? So what I'm saying is that what they just shared, what Peter just shared with us, is getting into the door is wide open. And for those of you who, like me, work with the public, oh my goodness, and you have the freedom, I'm like, oh yeah, I have to have a stack of these in my truck, in all my trucks, when I go and visit people. Because I get praying with folk don't have a Bible or whatever, and I need to leave something with them, right? And we have an opportunity to, and you, the Gideons, your camp, I pray for you all every day like I do. Well, I got my intercessory prayer list that I pray for people, like all the people in this church. The Gideons is getting prayed for every day. You got prayed for this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we're going to pray, we will support, and we're definitely going to use the resources that have been made available to us. Why? Because not only has God told us to go, but he's doing the heavy lifting.
Yes, he is.
Hello. He's doing the heavy lifting, right? So if we can just make available the word of God to people, then the word of God is going to find its place in their hearts. And so we could, I'm sure if we had opportunity, we could have people and share how God has moved in your life and reaching out. And oftentimes, now they're doing it purposefully, but God is moving so much that I know in my life, I'll be cleaning the carpet and I'll have to, it'll dawn on me all of a sudden. Say, you know this is me moving, right?
Right.
Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, yes. Because I'm there cleaning the carpet, I'm busy, and the person is, you know. And so, but God is everywhere saving people. Everywhere saving people. And we, being made in his image, I often think about how when God made the animals and he brought them to Adam, say, Adam, name these.
Yes.
He says, I made you in my image. Come on, I create, you create, create names for these. We're called labor. You do what I'm doing.
Right.
And so with the gospel, God says, I'm out saving people. Then you get out there and do the same thing. Why? Because I'm doing it, right? And so it's just, that's why I love having you all. I love hearing the testimonies. I love hearing about what God is doing because he never stops. He never stops. Amen? Let's stand to our feet as we pray and close. Father, we thank you, O God, for this opportunity. We thank you for our brethren. We thank you, O God, for the ministry of the Gideons and that seed that you planted in the brother's heart who started this ministry, Lord. And Lord, you have seen fit to cause it to flourish and to sustain it, O God, and to cause over 2.5 billion gospels to be dispersed around the world. Lord, may your word, O God, go forth. May it accomplish that which you please. May it prosper in the thing whereto you sent it. May your word so prevail over the earth, O God. And Lord, as we're faithful to go, O God, then you are faithful, O God, to cause a fruit to come and to remain.
Yes.
O God, we pray, Lord, that we would be bold, Lord, as they prayed in the book of Acts. Lord, make us bold and full of your spirit. Oh God, to distribute the gospel, to preach the gospel, oh God, to minister. Lord, the light that you came to give, Lord, to so many, oh God, that they might come out of darkness into your marvelous light.
Yes.
Father, I pray, oh God, that your word will have free course in our hearts and our lives, Lord, and bring forth fruit to the glory of God. Lord, and we ask this all in your mighty and matchless name. And all God's people said amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. God bless you real good. Thanks for coming out. Amen.